This is Exploring the Marketplace podcast, and I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Houston, and together we're inviting you into a conversation about what God's doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective from our commentary and stay for the main course for our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go.
It's going to be such a good show today, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Sean. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace.
I know. Today on the show, we're starting with real topics with you and myself, where we're going to talk about what to do when you're in a place of financial hardship or business deficits, or even on the verge of bankruptcy. And our main course is the amazing guest, Eric. And how do you say his last name?
Dunavant.
Dunavant. So Eric's going to be amazing. He's a financial planner. He works in a space that like is so profound, and he has some God stories that you just don't want to miss. And he's going to be really vulnerable with us. We've asked him to tell some pretty intense stories of some failures in his life that actually led to a total culture shift in his world, which is so good.
Yeah. Well, Sean, would you like to hear some listener feedback?
Of course. You know, I always want to hear from our listeners.
I know you love it. Okay. So Enjoy Jesus wrote this to us. They wrote on Apple iTunes, God is on the move. It's so encouraging to hear how God is working powerfully in our world today. Every story that I hear on Exploring the Marketplace gives me hope that our culture is redeemable. Every episode inspires me and challenges me to keep allowing the Holy Spirit to renew my mind and deepen my faith. And I don't know, Sean, I just want to thank in listener Enjoy Jesus on iTunes. And I thank you for listening, and encourage all of our listeners to leave comments or give us questions, because Sean, we're going to be answering questions again. People love
I know,
that.
I love that. We did that in season two, and we're doing it again all
we're
season
doing
one.
It again.
Season four. So this is perfect. So make sure on YouTube, you can comment and leave a question, or go to bowlsministries.com, click on Ask Sean and Bob, and we'll get to a question there. Well, we have real topics every week, and our real topic this week is with bankruptcy filings on an increase by 29.9%, Bob, in 2023. We're watching a spiral happen in our economy of financial hardship, and we've heard quite a few stories from people just like you who are at a place that you may have never been before in their career or their entrepreneurship or even their finances. And on top of all this, the IRS and national IRS, both state and national, are aggressively going after unpaid taxes, challenging filings all over the country, adding a deeper level of stress. This is happening right and left, especially in the West and the East Coast states. California is hitting up to 50% of their business owners and people who are self-employed right now with reassessing their taxes. So it's hitting people all over the United States, but the process of financial hardship is adding so much stress. We know at least someone, you know, in your life is being affected by the deep, murky financial waters and challenges. But what do we do? How does our relationship with God help us? So, Bob, tell us, what do you think about this time that we're in, and what's the good news?
Well, I'm one of those people. I live in California, and our business is being audited by the California Franchise Tax Board. And if you want to have fear put into you, like instantly you get a letter from the IRS or the Cal FTB or whatever your local state is. And I remember, Sean, a couple of years ago, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that the IRS was hiring 80,000 new agents to go after, recovering the taxes. And it's happening now after we've gotten through COVID. And so one of the things that I've had to do is just really turn to the Lord. And we had our first meeting with Cal FTB, and it was a little bit awkward, but I realized they just want to do the right thing. And, we believe we hadn't done anything wrong, that we paid the correct taxes, and we told them that. And they heard our side of the story, and we heard their side of the story, and we provided all these documents. And once we had our initial meeting, a lot of the fear left, but there's still kind of that nagging thing.
Yeah.
So, the question is, what does the Bible say? And what does God say about when we go through these trying and anxious times? And this is the time where we have to pull like from Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. that we appropriate these scriptures that mean a lot to us, and we appropriate them specifically to the anxious times we're going through, whether it's an audit, whether it's a tough business or bankruptcy. As you just said, almost 30% of bankruptcy filings have increased by 30%. What do you think, Sean?
Well, I think that right now it's up to one out of every four businesses are bankrupt, right? That's what that's saying, basically, in the nation. If you read the deeper statistics in the article that was on Forbes, and I was like, one out of every four small businesses are going through bankruptcy. What are you talking about? That's crazy. But that also tells you you're in good company and that God could rebuild with you. We've watched past guests, like I think of the guy who invented Lomi, which is that composting on the table. I ended up buying Lauren and Tree one, your wife and my wife one. Yeah. The composting you do in your kitchen. And before he went through that, he went through several bankruptcies. And I think if it's several other people who went through bankruptcies who shared on the show, and then cash flow issues. How many of our guests have gone through cash flow issues significantly several times, even after a time of success? So I think that this is par for course. We live in a world that has troubles. We live in a world that has turmoil, and industries and markets are changing. And you can't just look for analysts to like guide you and for just the best person in your industry to give you the best advice because you're different than them. So we really have to listen to God. We have to use wisdom in a way that we've maybe never used as a tool before. And we have to go for it when it comes to our spiritual and biblical convictions. And one of my favorite scriptures, I know we like to give favorite scriptures. Well, one of my favorite scriptures about this is Matthew 6:33. It says, God will give you everything you need. And we're reminded in this that God's going to give us everything we need when it comes to our provisional side, like for our family, for our friends. For everybody else, like we are going to get everything we need. That's like a true scripture. And Jesus started out a Sermon on the Mount with consider the lilies of the field. And he knew that billionaires and he knew business owners and he knew entertainers and he knew that bankers were going to be reading that. He knew that thousands of years later that he was saying to them, to us, hey, consider in your economy, consider the birds of the field, consider the lilies or the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. They don't labor yet. Look at how beautiful they are. Look at how much provision they have. So I feel like there's something inside of us that needs to anchor into some of that truth. And it's kind of all we have. If you're a Christian, it's like sometimes God strips you back to where that's all there is so that you'll really believe it. And I think that stripping time is hard because you're like, I mean, do I really believe what I thought I believed all along when it's this hard? And like you've gone through it, I've gone through it, and I do. And I love that you graduate in places of your faith that gets you ready for that next breakthrough.
It is amazing. So if you're facing financial hardships, if you're facing uncertainty or audits, like look at Matthew 7:7. Like this is as simple as it gets. We know this. We've read this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And it doesn't mean that all the problems are going to be solved, but it means you'll get answers. You'll hear the Lord's view of what's going on. And that's our secret sauce. That's what makes us different, is that we're able to ask the Lord on our behalf. I think it's just incredible as we go through these times to be able to rely, to remember to rely on the Lord.
Yeah, and I think it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But I love that we get to give away testimonies and stories with people all the time who've had some failures. I mean, I think probably out of the however many episodes we've done, we've had 20 or 30 that people who talked about financial failure or financial problems in a major way that affected their career and their business. So when you hear it and you hear how they applied their faith, it makes you go, okay, faith comes by hearing. Maybe God will do a similar thing with me as well. And I think it's so good that we have current testimonies and stories that help ground your faith. So make sure to listen to some of those past episodes. And it's not like a direct theme, so you have to find them through listening to episodes, but you're going to so enjoy what you do here. Well, Bob, we have a question of the week this week from a listener. Tell us what the question is.
Yeah. So from Cynthia, I'm glad that I'm partnered with you, Sean, to ask this question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How do we properly discern the timing for a prophetic word for our career?
That's it. That's an interesting question because we don't always hear God directly about our career or our life changes. We know we can trust God. We can trust the word. And then we could also look to hear God, but we don't know that we're always going to hear because sometimes God wants us to choose because we're sons and daughters. So we don't need to be led around by just his prophetic witness. We are sons and daughters. So we get to choose out of the virtue of we make powerful choices with God based on who we know him to be. and that pleases God as well. So sometimes people get religious about hearing God's voice in the charismatic Pentecostal movements, and they want to hear him so bad that they almost miss the opportunity to manifest their sonship or their daughtership, to be able to just make powerful and empowered choices based on following the word of God. But I think it's always good to ask the question, God, do you have anything to say about this? Or are you leading me directly? Is there anything I should be listening or looking for? And I think knowing your time and your season, it takes, to me, you know, the longer I've been alive, the more I know what I don't know. And I had to learn and press in to understand God's times and seasons for my life. And I was constantly comparing my times and seasons to other people, which doesn't help you when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're doing all this comparison. It does not help you understand your time with God, because God is so unique with each one of us. So I think learning how he talks to you, how he's led you in the past, would be a paradigm. We talk about this concept of Wired to Hear, about reverse engineering our big wins. Like, when did God show up before for us? How are we seeing that in our relationships, our opportunities now, or the lack thereof? Where is God showing up the most? Where is there the most favor? Where is there the most excitement or passion? Because we're looking to be led in ways that we wouldn't instinctually go just by our own leading. We're looking for God to lead us into opportunities that are above our pay grade, our education, our ability, and even above our desire, that are his desire for us. So if he shows you something, then you're accountable to follow him that way. If he doesn't show you anything, then your time and season is to make a powerful choice yourself.
Yeah, and I agree. And I would only add to that, that for me, the way that I discern what I hear God saying is by talking to people that I trust.
That's so true. Yeah.
And so, Sean, that was a beautiful answer. Well, it's time for the main course. And we have a guest. His name is Eric Dunavant. You want to tell us about him?
Yeah. So Eric Dunavant is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, coach, and creator of Kingdom ROI Method. And through his work with families and business owners, Mr. Dunavant is an advocate for kingdom-minded leaders to grow and protect generational abundance and impact for over 100 plus years. And his work has been featured on major media outlets such as New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Business Insider, all over the place. He also has an incredible podcast called Kingdom ROI. And he is such an exciting person to talk to, because he is so in touch with his own process with God and how he hears from God. So you're going to want to listen to this. He is our guest up next right here on the show. One of the most important revelations and understandings we're going to have is that there's a provision for every destiny God gives us. And I wrote a book called Keys to Heaven's Economy, which is going to take you on a spiritual journey of revelation, where you're going to understand what's available to you, both in the spirit, but also it's going to unlock you in the natural. Along with this book, if you buy it this month and this month only, you're going to get the Keys and Provision masterclasses that go right alongside this book. I want to encourage you to get the book, sow into your own destiny, your own provision, and your own resources right now, and also sow into Bowles Ministries by going to bowlesministries.com and get yours today.
Welcome back. We're here with Eric Dunavant. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob, I'm so glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you here, and I'm excited because just getting to know you a little bit in the pre-show, just when we're, you know, comparing notes, I love what you're working on. I love how you have this intersection of both kind of mainstream workplace stuff, but also nonprofit stuff happening right now, and how God's led you. And you were telling us stories. I'm like, don't tell us the stories anymore. We want them on the show.
Yeah.
But let's get right into, like, give us kind of a deep dive of what you do and kind of who you are, because you have a podcast, but you have a nonprofit, but you have several businesses, a holding company. Talk about this.
Yeah. So my name is Eric L. Dunavant. I've been married to my wife. I'm going to just real quick. Most important things. I've been married to my wife, Angel, for 27 years.
Yes.
We have three kids. The oldest is 22. I've got one that'll turn 20 in the next week, and then one will turn 18 later this summer. Two sons and a daughter. Nice. We live in South Louisiana area. God called us here from Phoenix, Arizona about 20 years ago. And never expected to stay. And God said, you're not leaving. What I do is called Kingdom ROI, which means return on intention. And the entire principle comes from Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And what I started to just recognize is, when you say ROI, everyone thinks like return on investment. I want more financial. And what I began to find was that that God's kingdom is so upside down that as we pursue, you know, we got what I call faith ROI. So if we pursue God first and then focus ROI, we take care of ourselves, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a direct instruction. Take care of your spouse, because the two become one flesh. then you take care of your family. God takes care of the financial ROI. I like to say return on intention is better return on investment because we're prioritizing the right things in the right order of what God intended in his kingdom.
Well, what I love about this show is that we get to talk, we hear principles from people like you who obviously have spent time and years investing and understanding this. But then we're going to hear some of the behind the scenes stories. We're going to hear like what brought you here. And so I want to just kind of take us back a couple of years ago, because even recently, like you have this maturity and your faith and your family and obviously your marriage is like seasoned, but you're still learning. You're still on the learner's journey, which I love that about you. And just a couple of years ago, you had quite kind of an awakening experience in your company. And talk about this, because I think these are the kinds of stories that help shape our audience. And they say, oh, if he can do it, I can do it. If he can overcome that kind of place inside of himself, but also in the world around him, I can do that as well.
Yeah, well, so it started with an experience. I need to just kind of tell you that I was in an experience and doing some training. And the gentleman in the experience made the comment. He goes, what you do under chaos defines you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? But, you know, I wrote it down and I held on to it and I came back to it. And within 3 weeks, one of the key leaders inside of my company had a moral failure with another employee that echoed throughout the company. And at that moment, now I'm sitting in a season of, okay, so the chaos has come. What is also sitting on top of this is I am in the middle of closing the biggest deal I have ever closed in my entire business. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting delayed.
So there's no stress.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so I've got the stress of, okay, I've just lost a key leader. As I've built the businesses and from Kingdom Principles, we've hired a lot of people who also have Kingdom Principles. And so now people are questioning culture. Mm-hmm. People are questioning what's going, you know, is this company really stand for what you say it stands for? How could you let this happen? All the things. And maybe I'm feeling that more than they actually said
Sure.
But I'm carrying the weight and I'm also like, okay, but God, you said this deal is going to close. And what ended up happening, it culminates in this one moment in that I've got people who work all over the country. I'd flown everybody in for a meeting. I didn't mention this. We lost like 3 clients in like a month and a half, mm-hmm. not related to this, but I mean, so that also gets added on in the stress. And one of the cultures of our overall business has been this idea of it's about preparing the next steward. It's about getting the next steward ready. So I'm always thinking, who should I be handing this position to? Who should be taking this over? So from an employee standpoint, you know, they're thinking eventually we're going to own and run this business and this is how things are going to go. Sitting in a meeting, somebody made some comment and I let the stress totally get to me. And in front of everyone, I'm like, fine, I'm just going to sell it. I'm going to get rid of it. I've had enough of these headaches. I'm leaving. And I stormed out the door.
Oh, no.
And left that culture bomb to marinate with every single person. You know, so we've got the moral failure. We've got the business deal that won't close. And now here's the key leader of the company who's come in and said, this is all about us and all about the future, who's now said, no, I'm just going to sell it. And
wow.
I can finish that story. I don't know if you've got any other questions that you want to dig in.
No, keep going. Take us there.
So I came home. Fortunately, I have a gentleman who's kind of my spiritual father who has really just spoken into my life. He's like, you need to recognize what you've done.
Yeah.
You need to just take a step back and realize, you know, the damage. He's like, you think that this other damage was done here, but look at what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can you own that? And so I just spent a lot of time in prayer and repentance with in front of the Holy Spirit, in front of God, just on my face of, okay, God, what was the chaos that caught me? What was the chaos that got me to this point? And what are you doing? Because I don't understand why I've lost this leader and why this has happened. And I don't understand why this deal won't close. And I don't get this. And really what he just revealed to me was, do you trust me? Mm-hmm. And can you surrender to my plan? And one of the things that he did at that moment was then caused me to reflect. He goes, would you go back and look at everything I've done to this point and every promise that I've made to you? Have I ever failed you? Have I ever let you down? Will you go back and look at it? And so it was a chance in a moment to go back and look at all of the moments that he had shown up and we've been in business almost 20 years now, just of every single moment and places of miracles that had happened and things that he had done. And he's like, look at each one of these places and understand I've never let you down and I'm not about to.
And let me interrupt you for a second, because like you've got so much going on here, and this reflection and gratitude is such a huge piece of understanding where God's taking us. And you're hitting on this right now, Eric. Like, you've made a big mistake. You have the opportunity to go back and repent to the Lord. And I know the story, the opportunity to go back to the employees. But as you're sitting in this place with your wife and you're looking at your humanity, how does that change your viewpoint of who God is in business and kingdom ROI, like at that point?
Well, I think here's what it changed, Bob. I think that really is. So at first it was just a theory. It's not just a theory. I claimed that it was true, but what became obvious is I wasn't living that it was true. Mm-hmm. What this brought me to was, are you actually going to go live everything you're teaching and everything that you're talking about? And are you going to trust that what you've uncovered from a head knowledge is true spiritually?
That's amazing.
And it really, you know, so that was October of 22, that maybe September that bomb dropped.
Yeah.
So God gives me a word every year. And so my word was for last year was surrender. And it was being able to walk into every single moment and begin to feel and begin to watch, to recognize what chaos was coming. And just, okay, do I trust him? And is he who he says he is? Then I'm going to surrender. Not easy, but again, a lesson. And I will finish it up because I think it's important to know.
Yeah.
It was knowing and having the humility to stand up in front of everybody, mm-hmm. in front of and bring everybody back together and say, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But the two things I think that get to be important as leaders. One, I said, please never put me on a pedestal. I am just a human like you're a human. I'm going to mess up. So let me tell you where I was and what was going on. I'm not telling you excuses. I just want you to understand in my humanity what I was thinking, what I was feeling, when I said that. And it was amazing. Like, that gave other people permission mm-hmm. to then feel it and experience the moment and see me for who I was, mm-hmm. which was just a beautiful experience. I feel like it raised up our leadership team because it also gave them permission to then learn to be vulnerable themselves.
Yeah.
And it's from that moment, then God began some healing through over the last year. And I've had members of my team who's just like, I cannot believe how much you've grown since that moment. Mm. It means so much to us to kind of, and you encourage us and what you're doing. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. It's just like, God had to take me to that low moment into that place so that I could become who he needed to be. Me become in this next season. And I think that's what we find that God does to us. Every single one of the lowest moments I've ever faced, if I will look at it, has been an opportunity of where God is trying to grow me into the next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting because I was just reading a Gallup poll that would kind of relate to this, which was, as of last year, only 21% of employees trust their leader, their manager, their owner. And they gave some insight on what you could do to change this culture and this statistic in your own company. And one of the first things they said is, let them in on your process if you're a leader. Mm-hmm. I love that you did that just organically with God, because I feel like what the missing ingredient is that there's such a performance-driven culture around us. Mm-hmm. And there's such everyone's neck is on the altar at any time to be the chopping block, to be, you know, like chopped for anything. And no one really understands why. There's a lot of hidden cultural rules that people don't even know. And I love that you're being so direct and that you're being so honest, because again, a lot of people don't come back from this. They do it with the same people. They end up learning, their learning crowd is that crowd. And then they go to, they change, but that crowd doesn't have the opportunity to change. And then they end up hiring all new people. And those people love them for who they are. But those other people, you know what I'm talking about. So I love this so much. Kind of take us on some of the journey of your business, because I think some of the things that have happened to you are remarkable. And it's because, like you said, casually, like you said it so casually. And my wife and I felt like God kept us here in this part of Louisiana. That's a really casual statement. Like, there's this alignment that happens as we give our career to God, where it's like, He can lead us places we wouldn't normally go ourselves. And instead of staying where you were happy in Phoenix, where your family's extended family, I'm sure, is probably from, you end up being there. But then God's provided something there that may not have happened anywhere else. So kind of take us on the, just your journey choices and how God's led you.
Well, I think the key has been, so the first thing is I'm going to attribute this back to, I mean, having a God-fearing, spirit-led wife.
Yeah.
Is so important. So many, one of the things that I find a lot in business, because I want to relate this back, is a lot of times in business, what the world tells us is you do business over here and the other spouse takes, so in this instance, my wife takes care of the kids and you take care of business and you don't talk about business together. You don't bring that home. You're not, I've even had other believers who have come to me is like, why do you talk to your wife about your business? I'm like, well, because the two are one flesh, and why would I go into business with half the wisdom that God has provided to me? Sure. And she doesn't work in the business, but she has so much. I can't tell you how many mistakes that she's kept me out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you ask me like about the journey, it's having a God-fearing wife who, even when I find myself straying or pulling away or trying to strive in my own flesh, who's like, what's God saying here? What are you sensing? Have you prayed about that? Have you done this? My most exciting portion of the journey, which has then weaved itself in and out on an ongoing basis, starts at the very beginning. If I was working for a big financial services company, God calls me to go out on my own. I'd saved up a bunch of money to go out on my own. And I'm praying the second day that I've left, and I get the invitation from God that he's like, you saved too much money. I'm like, wow. What? So how much did I save too much? Half. You need to give away half of what you saved. And so Angel, my wife, I literally married an angel, likes to tell the story. She's like, I said, go pray about this, Angel. I just got an indication that God wants to give away some money. I didn't tell her the amount. I didn't tell her anything. And she likes to tell the story of like, no matter where she'd go in scripture, she'd try to go to Revelation, she'd end up in Gideon or in Judges and reading the story of Gideon. You know, she tried to go to Genesis and she'd end up reading the story of Gideon. She's like, yeah, God wants us to give away half. I'm like, okay, I'm not comfortable, but now we're on the same page, confirming. And so, so God launches this business out of a test of generosity is what I guess I would say.
Yeah.
And I've got miracle after miracle and story after story of things that have done. But the only thing that we've leaned into, because God asked me in making that gift, he's like, is this your deal or is this my deal? Because this is your deal, you can keep the money.
Yeah.
You know, but if this is my deal, I need you to learn how to walk with me in faith. And it was in doing that that he began that journey of faith. And then seasons just kept coming along. I'll give you an example through. So we launched in the 2008 financial crisis. What a great time to launch a financial business. But God's timing is perfect. Yes. I went through a couple of seasons. I know at least three seasons to where I've been down to my very last penny. And, but generosity has been consistent. We've given 10% of our gross first year profits have always gone to an employee giving fund, which is what my wife runs. You're asking about the nonprofits. My wife helps run our employee giving fund. We take 10% of first year profits. I say that there's been three times I've been down to my last penny. Here's what's true. We've never laid anyone off.
Wow.
We've never cut anyone's salary. Wow. I've never missed out on anything that I wanted to do. My kids were able to go to the schools that they want to go to. We went on the vacations we wanted to go on. We were able to live the life. We didn't eat rice and beans. And that's where God was having me reflect back on. He goes,
yeah.
So you can say, well, my balance sheet is zero, but my God's balance sheet is infinite. Mm-hmm. And he showed up at exactly the moment we needed him every single time. And that was, again, that was part of the reflection. But it was born out of trusting him in that generosity at the very beginning as we launched and then just staying consistent with that.
Wow.
Eric, you've had legal issues. You've had settlements. You've had businesses. What do you see for our listeners and viewers as sound financial advice going through the times that we're going through in spite of all the uncertainty? If you were to give people two keys, which I know you love to do, what would they be?
Well, the first one is going to make all the sense in the world, but may not make any sense at all in one sense. Okay. Right. So who is your God? So is your God are you God? And so then it's your balance sheet and your numbers and your, I see so many people going into the season, maybe being a little bit more frightened and a little bit more anxious or whatever. And I'm like, why? And that's not, I get that feeling's there, but it's, would you go look at who your God is and what his promises mm-hmm. are for you and what he says about you and what he wants for you. And so long as you're in an alignment with that, which then would bring it back to, okay, if I understand who God is and you wanted me to get this down to two principles, then what am I doing to understand more of who he is mm-hmm. and what he's about? Because I think anybody can have 6 months of emergency savings. And so I could lay out some other principles like that. But when I think about it from a kingdom ROI standpoint, I would tell people, like, go into the word and make sure that everything that you're thinking and believing right now is in alignment with scripture. Mm-hmm. Make sure that's in alignment with what God is truly saying. And then look at the abundance that God has already put in front of you and ask him what he wants you to do with what he's given you today. We had an opportunity with the nonprofit portion to go in and teach in a community of poverty. And one of the things that we were talking to them about in that community was, what do you have? When you look at the parable of the loaves and fishes, what did Jesus ask them when they started? What do you have? Oh, we've only got two fish and five loaves. Okay. So what can God do? What did God do with what they had? He took what they had, fed 5,000 men. How many women? How many children? He fed all those. And the leftovers they picked up was more than what they started out with. So I would encourage people who are listening in the audience is to know what God says about you and then get together and then look at what is it you have and how does God want to use it and how does he want you to resource that into his kingdom?
No, that's a beautiful way to look at it. And I think, you know, your currency seems to be a lot of faith. And I love that more than money. Here, you're a financial guy. I just hear faith all over what you're saying. And it's interesting because a lot of the resources that it sounds like you've been able to connect to have come because of that faith, because you've been led. And I think a lot of people might look at you and go, well, Eric's special. He has a special relationship with God, or he has a special ability to hear from God. And what I love about this show is that we're finding everyday people like Eric, you know, you all over the world who are telling their story, and it's a compatible story to each other. And we all have that sonship. We all have that daughtership, mm-hmm. which is so beautiful. But talk about some of the resources that you wouldn't have gone into, or you wouldn't have connected to. I say gone into because the building you're in right now, where you're at, I know is a miracle. So talk about some of the miracles as far as, like, when you do this, when you apply what you know about who God is, and then he gives you faith for decision-making for properties you're supposed to have for your company. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about how that walks out in real life.
Well, so let me tell you a different story if I can, and one we didn't talk about before, but this is about 4 or 5 years ago. Business was not going well. It was it was one of those seasons we're getting close down to the end of the amount of cash that we had on hand. And I had been traveling on the road 20 of 28 days in February. Mm-hmm. And I like to make the excuse to what I'm doing it for my family. I had all the right reasons. I'm doing it for my family. Yeah. Four of those days were a college tour for my oldest, who's about to graduate. It's like, so I had, I spent those 4 days with it. You know, I'm making all the excuses, which we're really, really good at as business owners. And I went into an experience, a spiritual experience, with a good friend of who's become a good friend of mine, who, pulled me away for 5 days of a spiritual experience of just really reflecting on who I was and what God was calling me to be and where God was taking me. And his first question to me day one was, why do you hate your family? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't hate my family. He goes, no. You've been gone 20 of 28 days. You own your business. You schedule your travel. I don't know a man in that situation who doesn't hate his family. So tell me why you hate your family.
Wow.
It broke me.
Yeah.
And really caused me to take it. He was one of the people who really started unlocking a lot of kingdom principles for. I mean, I understood some of this, but it was this moment and what I'm about to tell you that really truly began to unlock this entire idea of kingdom ROI. He goes, here's what I want you to do. It's like, I want you to go home. He goes, you cannot go into the office until 10 a.m. He goes, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to spend time with God. I want you to be in the Word. He goes, I want you to go to the gym. I want you to work out. I want you to, and this wasn't the order I had to do it in, right? He says, I want you to make breakfast for the family. I want you to spend time with your wife, finding out what's going on with her day. I want you to spend time with the kids, find out what's going on with their day. I want you to invest in them. You cannot go into the office until 10 a.m. He says, you also cannot travel. Do you trust that this, because he started showing me, he's like, this is kingdom. It's complete. I understand it's completely upside down, but if you trust God to take care of this. And so it was more kind of this conviction of, do I really love my family? And do I trust what another spiritual leader is telling me to be true and what's coming from God? Do I trust that? So I walked into that and here's what happened. God started redeeming the business. The other thing that happened is other leaders inside of my company, because they knew I wasn't coming in until 10 a.m. and I wasn't traveling, started stepping up, and I realized how much I was holding them back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was in their way, and I reconnected with my wife and I reconnected with my kids. And again, it takes healing. No one ever thinks this stuff happens overnight. There's probably about a month and a half or longer that they didn't even believe it was real. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been, I've been living with that mindset, and that every single day, have I prioritized the right things? Did I start with God in the right place? Beautiful. Did I start with me in the right place? Did I start with my marriage and my family in the right place? And understand that business is last, because God is a God of relationship. What God wants us is to pour into relationships. And if we think of business is a course of relationships, but if you're looking at it as it's just a tool. And so many times we put it on the altar, and that's, it took that season of God having to knock that idol down and show me how to really prioritize the right things in kingdom.
You know, Eric, in your story, you've mentioned mentors twice and they've had huge impact on your life. And, you know, Sean's been lucky to have mentors. I've been lucky to have mentors. And I think,
I thought you were going to say Sean's been lucky to have me.
And I just think it's in your story, it's huge. You got slapped upside your head and, you know, shocked into with a question, and it changed the whole trajectory of your life. And I think as we move in, you know, in this life, recognizing that there's others out there that love us and care for us and are willing to ask hard questions is huge. How do people get to you, Eric, like for financial coaching, for Kingdom ROI, for all the things that you do? How do people get to you?
Yeah, so the best place to find out more about what we're about is go to kingdomroi.org. That's the first. If you want to reach me directly, you can send me an email at eric@kingdomroi.org. I will tell you that one of the things that I'm super passionate about is to getting people to fall in love with and understand the blessing of generational abundance starts with relationships and with your family. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to send me an email at eric@kingdomroi.org, and all you need to put in the subject line is family impact kit. And so we have about a day worth of exercises that just walks families through different ways of connecting with each other, creating values, talking about generosity, talking about things that matter for, you know, I like to say for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity, the things that truly make a difference. But send me an email, put family impact kit in, and I will send that out to them. And I think it'll be a blessing.
Well, Eric, this show has been so rich. And I know, like me, the viewers and listeners are loving this. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get a hold of you. And I want to encourage you to do just that. Make sure to connect to them, and also connect to Bob and I through our YouTube channel or through our socials, Bob Hassan or Sean Bowles. We'd love to hear from you as well, and we will see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments, where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials, at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.